You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. That's why Mint Mobile is here and offering premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month with no catch. Mint Mobile is great for anyone that's looking for a way to get a little bit of extra savings. You don't have to pay for those big plans, even though they still have the high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network with unlimited talk and text. You can use the phone you have right now with any Mint Mobile plan and keep on trucking just like you are, just saving money on your mobile plan. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it, make sure it works for you, and then you're all set to go. So switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/DNVR. Be sure to go to mintmobile.com/DNVR to let them know we sent you. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. Get amazing odds boosts every single day. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli. As some Avalanche news today, kind of all over the place. A couple of obvious things. First of all of the people on waivers yesterday are now being sent down to the Eagles. No big surprises there. Everyone cleared. All good on that one. Pavel Francouz put on the IR. We will talk about that a little bit more in a second. The first thing I wanted to do is talk about Jared Bednar, as he has tested positive for COVID. Obviously, that sucks. Hoping he gets well as soon as possible. But also, he's going to miss the two Dallas preseason games, the one tonight and the one Saturday. Obviously, there is a chance he could miss opening night, depending on how long his quarantine is going to last. Does that really matter to you at all, AJ?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Confident. Yeah.
I don't. If we get to opening night, I think it's a different conversation. Sure. But for the preseason games, I don't think it matters a ton. The fact that this won't be on TV doesn't impact him. But you know how it is, live versus video.
Yep.
He might lean a little bit more on what he was already feeling.
As far as roster decisions and things like that.
That would probably be my biggest question is, with him now having to stay away from the team and not being able to run practice or coach the games, they're down to 31 guys, which is great, but 23 is your opening night roster.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are 8 more cuts to go. What kind of input is he having in those 8? And how heavily is he relying on what he has seen up to this point versus what's happening in the last 2 preseason games, which he won't be a part of? So that would be my biggest question would be just that, you know, but how do they make those last 8 cuts? Who's making that decision? Because, you know, normally it would be they would all meet, they would all sit down together, and they would say, okay, here's this, here's that. You know, okay, well, if these guys are even, you know, if Jason Megna and Martin Kaut aren't even, or are even on the thing, you know, are we afraid of losing Megna on waivers? So maybe we send Kaut down instead, you know, where they meet with management and he might not have something, you know,
indifferent about it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he may not care. He's not going to be thinking about a waiver status where a man at, you know, front office is concerned about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then normally they sit down and they have those conversations. They have a conversation and they work through their process. What does that process look like without Jared Bednar now? So, you know, when you have, you know, you, there's a leadership hierarchy, and when there's a vacancy there,
it leaves a hole for sure.
Yeah.
In the chain of command at the very least, if nothing else. But yeah,
how long does it go? You know, because last year, if you had COVID, you were done for weeks.
Yeah, it was, I think, yeah, 10 days anyway. But
live videos, live is just different than video, though. Anybody that's ever been in a rink to watch a hockey game can tell you that live hockey is just a different experience than video. And they'll have the video from the next two games, you know, televised, not televised. It doesn't matter to them because they'll have internal video. So he'll be able to see it, but it still isn't the same. And so I just wonder how much that colors. They've got eight cuts to go, maybe more, because the Avs don't usually roll a 23-man roster. So maybe they have 10 cuts to go. And without Bednar as part of that, I am curious how that decision process, you know, the decision-making process works.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I do tend to lean towards your original point where it feels like it'll probably go by the book more than anything. As Bednar not being able to see directly and make direct decisions on things like that, whatever the original vision was, or at least whatever the vision was before he got a positive test, was probably just what they're going to go with at this point, barring, you know, if Martin Kaut shows up and scores a hat trick against Dallas and then scores another hat trick in the next game against Dallas, then maybe you're having a different conversation. But
I feel like there's certainly something, like if a guy absolutely pops off where you're just like, okay, well, that guy made the team.
Yeah, right.
Easy enough.
Doesn't matter if you're watching on video or live, if a dude just murks a team, but it the minute differences are tough for sure. You know, the stuff people are doing behind plays when the camera's not necessarily on them, that type of thing. Certainly anything a player is doing on the bench, you're not hearing who the guys are who are, you know, being a positive influence that way if you're not on the bench as a coach. So lacking some things there, no doubt, but we'll see. Generally it's at least 7 days, I believe, after a positive test, but if he gets two negative ones 3 days from now, I guess it's fine. Yeah, that's the Bednar situation. Not really clear how the positive test came about. Also not super clear the fact that the Avs don't have anyone in quarantine, although I guess do they even have proper quarantine regulations this season? I don't even know.
Genuinely didn't even bother to look.
Yeah, I don't, like, my guess would be that they don't have any quarantine regulations as it stands, and that's why 95% of the league is vaccinated, but yeah, that is what it is. Either way, show must go on, and the Avs will play Dallas tonight regardless. Anything stand out to you on the lineup, AJ?
Just more of a forward melee.
Okay. Fair enough. Obviously, the goaltender situation is set. It's JoJo and Kemper for these last two games with Franco's out. But yeah, the forward battle remains not exactly what it was with the cuts of the veterans, but you're going to see a game that have all of Maltsev, Anisimov, Helm, Kaut, and Ranta involved. Even Logan O'Connor. O'Connor and Helmer are a little bit more of locks, but Shane Bowers is in there as well. Jason Megna is in there as well. So that's it. That everyone left on the forward side that's competing for a spot is playing tonight.
Are we feeling, are we heartened at all that almost all the veterans, the veterans are down to Anisimov and Megna?
I am heartened outside of Anisimov still being there.
Okay, fair enough.
Look, I think it's a positive sign, even if these guys don't make the team. Certainly Ranta and maybe to a little bit of a lesser extent, Cowton Bowers have set themselves up to be pretty high on the call-up list at worst. If one of them makes the team, great. That's what I would be rooting for personally, yeah. But would not be surprised at all if none of the kids end up making the team. So
probably not, Kevin, but I mean, we'll get to it, but we'll get to Frankie. Yeah,
we'll get to that in the next period. We're not quite there yet. On that side of it, I think it feels great. On the other side of it, how many more looks are they going to give Anisimov if they aren't planning on signing him, right?
Well, they can only give him two.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but and look, they may end up cutting him tonight. I don't know. But he has not looked good, in my opinion. And the fact that they haven't cut ties already is a little bit concerning with me on Anisimov. And it seems like they're looking for an excuse.
So one of the other things with no Bednar is, what do the minutes distribution look like? Because Bednar played Anisimov, I think it was just under 9 minutes in the last game.
Yeah, it was very minimal.
It's hard to believe that they're about to give that guy a job if he plays 9 minutes, right? And if he rolls into tonight's game and it doesn't look good and he plays really low number of minutes, it's really hard for me to believe that they're about to give him a deal.
Yeah.
I have moved in the other direction on Anisimov, where it looks like they're more excited about just what they have elsewhere, and that he just hasn't looked good. Whereas Jack Johnson looks like it's the same thing, right? Like the PTOs have kind of gone in opposite ways. We thought Jack Johnson for sure, I thought going in was getting signed, but his play early on would have justified it, and then it slipped, and now I think it's a conversation. With Anisimov, it just went off the cliff.
The thing with Johnson versus Anisimov is no one has really stepped up and taken that job, right? With Taves out, they need someone to play that 6th D, and Jagan McDonald has not looked particularly great. I guess if you're really pulling for it, maybe you can reach your man Dennis Gilbert on this one, but I don't see the Avs doing that.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that one.
So with the Taves injury, I just, the signing of Jack Johnson from a number of bodies standpoint certainly makes a lot more sense, even if the play has declined over the last couple of preseason games.
Evan, if you're just chilling at home, dog, why aren't you on the show? Why don't you just jump on and talk with us?
Whereas the signing of Anisimov is like, not only does he not look good, but there's five other dudes who need that job, want that job. So it's one of those things. I mean,
how do you feel about this question?
Yeah, the one that about cutting Anisimov last.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have really bothered me if they cut him earlier, sure, some stuff like that happens sometimes in all sports where they show some respect to these guys, but it's not like they have done this in the past. They had no problem cutting Curtis Glencross a couple games into the season. When it was obvious Jared McCown wasn't going to work out for them because his knees didn't work, they had no problem cutting him.
Jared Callen, man. I felt so bad for him.
Yep.
He finally, I remember talking to him in the locker room. He felt good. He was like, oh my gosh, I'm finally healthy. And he just couldn't move.
Yep. So
too many problems.
It's not like that's a line of thinking that the Avs have abided to in the past.
Yeah. I just don't think, and if you cut him early, he can go find a job elsewhere, is irrelevant. He's on a PTO. He's allowed to sign a contract with all 31 other teams right now.
Yep. If any team wanted to sign him, they could.
Yeah, they're allowed to do that. They could just roll on in. They've got the tape. They can see the games.
And that's the same thing holds true. If the Avs cut him at any time, any team could sign him to a PTO then directly off of that as well.
They could give him a PTO. The Avs could cut that dude. They could release him from a PTO. St. Louis could sign him to a PTO, and Boston could give him a contract all in the same day.
Yep.
Like, that's just how it is. They can do whatever they want. Yep. So.
Yep.
Yeah, what happened with Hunter Miska? They sent him down. He's with the Eagles.
Yeah, that one. Before we get into that, we do have to give y'all our DraftKings pick of the week, as I continue to find the wildest, most interesting bets out there on DraftKings right now. All right. Chat, AJ, no cheating. Who can tell me the best chess player in the world?
It's the, I can picture him. I can see a stupid European face.
Yeah, he has like the most Central European name you can ever think of.
Yeah, Deep Blue. There you go. It's definitely Deep Blue. Yeah, I can picture him. I cannot think of his name. I can't. It's okay. Yeah.
You spelled his last name wrong.
But yeah, it's Magnus Carlsen. Yes.
Magnus Carlsen is
God, what a hitman name.
Right. He doesn't look like a hitman at all, though, really. Is facing off against Ian Nepomenacci. I think that's how you say his last name, at the World Chess Championships in November. You can bet on either of these dudes. Magnus Carlsen is a minus 300 favorite. Nepomenacci is a plus 225 dog. Look, I don't want to totally open the bag of worms of what is and isn't a sport, but you can bet on chess at DraftKings Sportsbook. That's all I'm saying. That's all. I'm just putting it out there, all right? We're a couple of steps away from betting on Chinese checkers in DraftKings Sportsbook land. So go check it out. Go bet on whatever you want, whether it be World Chess Championships, baseball, basketball, hockey, football, any other wild thing you like, floorball, handball, golf, hurling, whatever it is. You can bet on literally just about any sport in existence. So head on over there. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. You can get a $1 bet on any upcoming NFL game to get $150 in free bets with DraftKings. It's a great deal. You have to use the DNVR code to get it, but then you have a ton of money to just play around with on DraftKings and have fun. It's a total blast with the free money. So go on, check that out. Use the DNVR code. It must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And, of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. After you've done that, you can also go check out Chevalier Mortgage. Both Mike and Virginia have been in the business for a very, very long time now, and they are great at what they do. Mike, in fact, is a certified financial planner. So not only will they find you a great home loan, they will also look at your entire picture, make sure it's all good, find exactly what's right for you instead of just a generic type of home loan that maybe works okay, but could fit a lot better to exactly what you need. So go check them out today. You can visit them at dnvrmortgage.com. And it's not only a free consultation from them, but you can get free DNVR merch as well. So they got you covered top to bottom. Of course, you can also call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. When you got your home loan sorted and you won a bunch of money from DraftKings, that is when you come on over to the DNVR bar. Come on, hang out with us. Come have a few brews. Come have some delicious food. By the way, AJ and I have slowly been working our way through the entire DNVR bar menu, and we haven't found a miss yet. All of the food at the bar is so, so good. Like, surprisingly good. The Wagyu burger, I've obviously recommended to everyone always, but I just had the chicken bacon ranch wrap the other day. I think it was absolutely delicious. I can't even explain it. So you got to get down to the bar. You got to try our food. Just go for the atmosphere at very least. Anytime there's a Colorado sporting event, you know, we're going to have that place rocking, except for tonight, probably because, you know, the Avs game isn't on television, but there's nothing we can do about that. When opening night hits and the Avs are on television, you know it's going to be a blast. So come on down to the DNVR bar, hang out with us there, and it'll be a good time. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. AJ will be back in just a second. Pavel Francouz, it looks like the timeline at this point is now 3 to 4 weeks, so let's call it a month, and that's going to miss regular season time. Obviously, it's going to miss a handful of games. Now, when you look at the Avs schedule as far as a backup goaltender, it's really not that bad. I'm not even sure if there's a single back-to-back. Let me see here. In that time frame, yeah. So there's not a single back to back in that time frame. They have multiple day breaks across that, where 2+ days off, and at the start of November they have a 4-day break. So it's not a big deal when it comes to the scheduling and potential rest for someone like Darcy Kemper. That side of it is very, very good news for that. I haven't seen that social post, but dudes are wearing braces and stuff all the time off the ice to do whatever they got to do. Kemper's the starting goaltender tonight, so it's obviously not anything serious. No more goalie injuries would be nice, obviously, but as far as injuries go, this one is probably not devastating. You never want to see anyone get injured, of course, but Frankie missing 3 weeks isn't going to kill the Avs by any stretch of the imagination, even if it does end up being a full month. Not that big of a deal, especially when you look at the Avs schedule. I mean, you'd play your backup in full the first month of the season, maybe one of these games at most. So not that big of a deal. And of course, the Avs do have Jonas Johansson as their third goaltender to help fill that void. Look, Pavel Francouz is a better goaltender than Jonas Johansson. There's no beating around that bush. That's just a factual, but if you have to play Jonas Johansson for one game, he's going to get you by. It's not a big deal. The Avs will be just fine, especially if you pick your game right and you want to drop him against one of the CBJ games at the start of November or something, you'll probably be okay. So. I mean, it just, I just don't think it's that serious when it comes to resting Darcy Kemper as far as early in the season. Franco's missing up to a month, AJ, as you've rejoined us here.
What up? What did I miss?
Not much. Just starting to dive into the Franco stuff. He's going to miss a month. It really, the Avs schedule to start the season isn't super grueling. So how big of a deal is this?
Not.
Okay. Kind of in the same boat on that one. It just, obviously you want Franco's to be healthy. I think the bigger concern with him missing a month here is that was a dude that was still shaking off the rust this offseason, right? When he comes back from this injury, now you're talking about a guy that's going to have to go into the regular season cold, who hasn't played a actual competitive NHL game in still months and months and months and months.
We certainly hadn't, he hadn't played a full game.
Yeah, he played half of the first preseason game and then I guess half of the second one as well, but had to leave for injury that time. It is what it is. As far as a warm body in the bench, JoJo is fine. Yeah.
Totally. I'd probably give him the Tampa Bay start on the 23rd.
Okay.
If I was giving him a start, it would be the Tampa Bay start on the 23rd. That would be the only one.
All right.
For this month. And then depending on if it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks, they've got Columbus the week of November.
I was looking at that away Columbus game, maybe you start them there.
Yeah, one of the two Columbus games obviously would be if it's more like 4 weeks, then the away Columbus game on November 6th would be a good one.
Yep.
And then 4 days off, you know. So
yep. So
yeah, I mean you're probably not winning that game anyway because it's the last game of that road trip you're playing every other day. I would say I don't have high hopes for them winning that game, regardless of Kemper or JoJo.
Yep.
So, again, that's the only game I would consider it. Doesn't need to be. That's one where you talk to Kemper and you say, how do you feel?
For sure.
And if he says, all right, I'm good, and you put him in, fine. If he says, hey, I wouldn't mind having this one off, fine.
You do what you do. Have him ready to go for that Vegas game at home.
Yeah. Darcy, you know, you want Kemper to play the Vegas game for sure, just with the 2 days off, you know, no matter what. And he's playing that game.
Yep.
St. Louis, you know, maybe that game, I guess. But really with the Columbus, with the big breaks, they have 2 days off basically every week.
Yeah, this schedule is not particularly rough, right? Even getting into November, that second week, they have a 4 day break. Like, it's very paced, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's not like the December or January schedules where it's just mass chaos. Where if he was missing 3 or 4 weeks, then this would be, I mean, look at the first 4 weeks of December, you know, yeah, like it would be awful. You would have a real problem in your hands. At least in terms of like, you would absolutely be relying on your backup goaltender for multiple games in that stretch. During this stretch, you can make a reasonable argument that Darcy Kemper plays every single game.
Yep. The Avs don't play their first back-to-back until the end of November, basically. And then they play an insane amount in December.
Yeah. And December and January is where they play all of their games.
Yep. Because they got to pack them in before February.
Yeah.
March is pretty packed too.
Yeah, March also has a couple of 2 day breaks though. It's got multiple 2 day breaks.
That's true.
Whereas January, I think they've got just the 1 2 day break in January.
One in the middle.
And then in December, their only 2 day break is the Christmas break. Yep. So, being from a place doesn't mean you are that place. You know, as somebody from Texas.
The Avs have stated that they were on their way to being 100% vaccinated. I would assume that includes coaches. So.
Yep. They were the ones that were that missed COVID protocol were the ones who were just got the second shot.
Yep. I mean, I don't. All you have to do is see how the organization handled no longer retaining Brett Clark's services to know that they wanted everyone vaccinated.
Yeah.
So that is what it is. We don't have to get into it any further than that. What this injury does do is it does have a little bit of a ripple effect downstream here, right? Because what was a very easy Johansson-Miska pairing in the AHL to start the season is now Miska is your AHL starter to start the year, and mm-hmm. I'm assuming Eustace Annan will be the second guy there, but it could be Trent Miner.
I would bet
that it's Annan.
Tens of dollars that it's Annan.
Tens of dollars.
Yeah.
Big money spender over here. Yeah, me too. I really do think it'll be Annan, which is fine. I mean, as far as the depth opportunity for these guys, I think it's a great opportunity for Annan to show himself in the AHL a little bit and get some more North American experience, not on Utah's international ice.
Yep. That's all of our concern with Annan in Utah.
Yep. And I saw this idea in our chat, and I've seen it floating around on Twitter as well. It would be drastically out of left field for the Avs to use anyone but JoJo as their backup while Francois is out.
During this opening stretch, absolutely. All this idea that they should claim somebody
to have on their NHL roster, and then Frank okay. is healthy, and then what? Do they
now
do?
You have yeah. seven goaltenders. You were already full up with Hunter Miska. Now you're ultra full up. All right, now what do you do with Michael Hutchinson?
Yeah,
you know now are you putting Michael Hutchinson and Hunter Miska in the ECHL? Great. Now Trent Miner doesn't have a job at all.
Yeah, they're just too crowded.
So you claim one of these goaltenders. You know, Hutchinson cleared waivers today, so that's done. So you claim one of these goaltenders, and my genuine question is, what do you do next?
Look, I mean, in my head, if you're going to claim one of these goaltenders, the only way I see it playing out is you claim him. He sits on your bench for a month, plays maybe one or two games, and then you waive him once Frankie's healthy, right?
Okay, and then what? Because it's not like he's just not in your organization anymore.
You pray that whoever waived him claims him back.
Okay. Okay. I mean, sure. Why not, right? And if that doesn't happen, then...
Then you're effed.
Then Eustace Annan really doesn't play for you in the AHL this year. It's already going to be... Where is he going to get time? How is he going to get minutes? How is this going to work?
Yeah, right. They shouldn't claim anybody. I'm with you on that. I'm just saying that I think that's the thought process of someone looking at picking up a waiver claim. But it's just Jonas Johansson has proved to be fine for this hockey team.
Well, and again, we're talking about a stretch in which there's a real chance he just doesn't play.
At all, or maybe one or at most two games.
Yeah, well, nobody claimed Ned last year.
Yep.
You remember when Alex Nedeljkovic went unclaimed by the league?
The dude hadn't proven he was a serviceable goaltender until he got the play last year, basically.
Do you remember the team that drafted and developed him was the one that put him on waivers to be claimed by the whole league?
And then got an NHL goaltender out of him and then
didn't sign him.
Yeah, he like saved their season. It was so it was such a wild story that we are all just like, okay. Because he'd been a top prospect before, and then it was just like everybody kind of just forgot about him. Anyway, they don't really need to worry about this. That this might be the only time of the year in which they could have had a goaltender miss a month where we just sort of shrug
about it. And it's fine. Yeah. And it's just totally fine. And it's just to wrap up my thoughts on the goalie hierarchy. Obviously, the Avs don't play Arizona until January. So
yeah, isn't the first January the it's bad like, the home and home? Yeah, 14th and 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
JoJo's obviously ahead of Miska. We've said our thoughts on Miska. That's
Miska didn't even get a preseason game.
You can't play him in the NHL again if you're legitimately trying to win games. That just is what it is. And then Anadin has three. He has a playoff game in the NHL as well. He has three games on North American ice.
Yeah.
So it's just not realistic to put anyone in that backup now, third goalie position, long-term spot other than Johansson, at least until we get a couple months into the season. And then we can start making decisions about maybe he looks good enough to do something.
I would also say the other thing that I would probably consider doing before claiming somebody, because if you claim somebody, keep in mind they have to sit on your roster at that point.
Yep, they have to be on your NHL roster.
Unless you are trying to get rid of them, then you can send them back down and the other team gets them back.
But they would have to go through waivers the second you do that. Yeah.
But it's I would say that if you were to do something like that, like instead of claiming Michael Hutchinson, he's got this dude on there. What about, before I suggest this, I should probably look up PTO rules. Because I think you're allowed to play in a game or two on a PTO.
I mean, there's all sorts of weird stuff, especially when it comes to, like, emergency goalie situations.
Well, emergency goalie is different. That's a totally different designation.
I understand, but I'm saying, like, with an emergency goalie, you can sign someone to a one-day contract, right, to come into a game. And with the goalie situation in the league, certainly as it was last year, like, there's always special caveats made with goalies. If you needed a goalie, you could call one up straight from the AHL roster. They didn't have to go through the taxi squad or anything like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if you could do some weird stuff in that position. That's all I'm saying.
You can play a game on a PTO.
A game. All right. Very specific.
Well, and so what I'm thinking is if you really, for whatever reason, you were absolutely desperate to not play JoJo, then you could go and give a guy like a Devin Dubnyk a PTO, right? A guy who's like, yeah, and then for just the one, whatever.
I mean, if you really had a guy you thought you're going to get more than JoJo out of, which...
Yeah, but I mean, you're doing all of this work to not play Johansson, which is stupid. Why did you bring him back then?
Yeah.
If you were this mortally afraid to play Jonas Johansson, why did you trade for him? Why did you bring him back?
Yep.
So it's just so dumb.
Agreed.
All these gymnastics to try and not play a guy that you've invested in. You know, like it doesn't make any sense. You just, it's one game, like at the most two, assuming there are no setbacks. Cause that's what you're afraid of with Francois, is you're afraid that this becomes a thing.
Right. That this is now the second time that he's had a setback, and I don't know the specific injury. It given he's only missing a month, I'm assuming it has nothing to actually do with the surgery that he had last offseason. Or I guess it was technically.
They said it didn't. So,
but you can only take so many lower body injuries before your legs just stop functioning correctly, right?
Yeah. So, it would be a. I don't understand some of these opinions. You guys know Pavel Francouz was signed already, right?
Yep.
He was already under contract. He had a 2-year deal last year.
They had already
spent $2 million on him as a backup goaltender.
Look, I'll say the same thing I say about this all the time. If when Nedeljkovic was on waivers at the start of last season, if you knew what the Carolina Hurricanes were going to get out of him that year, there are 31 NHL teams, 32 now NHL teams that would like to hire you if you can tell that that guy's going to turn into something at that point.
Yeah.
So.
If the team that put him on waivers knew that it was going to be.
That he was going to get through.
Yeah, that he was going to be the guy that, like, bailed out their season and started playoff games for them. They never would have put him on waivers. It wouldn't have happened.
As far as an Avs decision, you just can't compare what Nedeljkovic is now to an injured Francouz, because their only opportunity to get Nedeljkovic was a year ago, when what Nedeljkovic was significantly less than Francouz.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, super not a relevant discussion. And really, like, this trying to jump through hoops to not play Johansson because he looked bad in a preseason game. Like, do you remember he played games that were points last year?
He won almost all of his games with this team.
I think he won 5 of 6 games, and one was an overtime. The one loss was an overtime loss.
I can't remember. I want to say the loss was in regulation, but
I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure it was in overtime.
Either way,
I'll check. I'll just check. Jesus.
Make sure you get the numbers right.
Yes, that's definitely what I wanted to do. Thank you for just selecting on random stuff for me, Hockey Reference. This website is so good and so frustrating. No, he lost a couple games.
But he didn't start some of those.
Yeah. He was 5-1-1 in 8 games.
Okay. So.
Yeah, he was 5-1-1. His first appearance was a shootout loss to Arizona.
Okay. And then he had a regulation loss.
Yeah, he had a regulation loss at St. Louis. Oh, that was right after the COVID stuff.
Yeah. Then he won 5 games and came in as relief in a game where he got a no decision.
He had a 9-13. He had a 9-13 save percentage, including a one shutout. And he allowed more than 2 goals just twice. Both of those were losses.
This is perfectly fine, especially for a third goaltender. That's more than fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he beat Anaheim and LA. Great. So those teams aren't on the schedule, then you don't play him. We are back to don't play him. You went out and paid a king's ransom for a top tier number one goaltender, what they believe is a top tier number one goaltender anyway. This conversation has gotten into silly territory. You just don't play him.
And then
they've got 2 games against Columbus that you could make an argument to maybe play him against.
And this isn't, we're not talking about Jonas Johansson being the backup for the entire season. We're talking about him being the backup for at most a month in the lightest part of the schedule of the year.
For 3 to 4 weeks. The only other time that this would have been like they can get away with this pretty easily would have been February.
Yeah, had he gotten
when
no one's playing,
when there were no games.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Because if you look at the schedule, even if Franco's it's 5 weeks, it's 2 games against Columbus, and then they have 4 days off. They played 2 games in the first 10 days of November.
Yep.
And both of those are against Columbus. So when the context matters, his wins come against Anaheim and LA. Well, he's going to go against Columbus. So if Frankie is out an extra week, you've got 2 games against the Blue Jackets, who are probably not going to be too great this year.
Yeah. I don't think we need to cover it anymore.
When I said yesterday, I heard that it wasn't too bad. This is kind of what it was.
Yep.
It ended up being 3 to 4 weeks is a little longer than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be more like two.
Yeah.
But ultimately when you do break down the schedule, it's like, well, this is pretty survivable.
All right. So what was the actual terminology in the injury and like official, is there actual terminology?
It was lower body,
just lower body. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Well, look, if your lower body doesn't want to miss action for up to a month, go get Manscaped. Use code DNVR to get 20% off. Get the Perfect Package 4.0. You'll get free shipping as well. Of course, they have a bunch of other goodies, whether it be deodorant, toner, breath mints, you name it. They got you covered for all of your taking care of your body needs, both below and above the belt. Their products are also awesome. I absolutely love the lawnmower. It does a great job anytime I need to trim any hair anywhere on my body. You know, I let my beard grow out super long. It cuts through that stuff like butter when I do shave it off. So highly recommend all of their stuff. They're super awesome. Then head over to HassleCattleCompany.com. Use code DNBR10 to get 10% off your purchase. Look, the Wagyu burger's dope at the bar. Go get it. Go eat it. And then when you love it, you can just order it from Hassle and have them at home. So it's awesome burgers all the time. Jump on it. Get the amazing burgers. If you want steaks, they got those as well. Tomahawks, sirloins, bone-in, ribeyes, you name it. They got you covered with all the meat you can possibly imagine. So use that DNVR10 code to get 10% off there. If you order over $200, you get free shipping from them too. And last but certainly not least, hit up Green Mountain Dental Group. Get your teeth taken care of at the best family dentist in the Denver metro area. You get a bunch of amazing reminders from them when you schedule anything. They take care of you top to bottom. And when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, they'll give you a free Sonicare toothbrush, a nice electric toothbrush to make taking care of your teeth at home just that much easier. So check them out today. I can confirm going to the dentist is good. Take care of your teeth and don't let them get destroyed because that's not fun. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Rudo and AJ coming at you here.
Rudo.
AJ.
How did you feel about Dave Chappelle's new special?
It was good.
I'm totally kidding. Don't answer.
Okay.
We can't talk about it.
All right. I won't talk about it.
Apparently, it is very controversial.
All right. I have only watched the first, 20 minutes of it, so I don't know about the second half or whatever.
It released, and I happened to be awake and didn't know it was coming out, and Netflix was like, you watch a lot of comedy specials. You might like this. And it was, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I watched the whole thing, and then I fell asleep. I don't remember any of it. How do you feel about all the other things going on in the hockey world? We've been so busy with preseason stuff. The whole Robin Leonard thing happened over the weekend.
Off, and we kind of didn't even talk
and
about it.
And we didn't, it sort of wrapped itself up before we even got a chance to talk about it. It's crazy how some news cycles, man, they
go quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Robin Leonard's awesome. I've been a longtime advocate of saying players need to use their voice more. And
yeah,
Leonard often trying to do it to shed light on good causes, or at least the bad stuff that the NHL has done.
Yeah, I think it's complicated because there are some stray bullets there. You know, that get
Leonard,
that get taken
Leonard has
from
a
Leonard.
Penchant for doing that. Yeah.
Well, and like with Leonard, it's complicated.
Yeah, of course.
Because like, and it's so weird that the way social media portrays people as good or bad doesn't leave a lot of room for 99% of the world to exist in the middle, which is where we almost all of us are.
Yep.
And it was just, it was, it, I don't know. You and I have always liked Robin Leonard, and that goes with adding, like there are things about him that have been problematic over the years.
Where it's like, pump the brakes on this one.
Yeah, and it's not all good and it's not all bad, but I do appreciate him at least being willing to talk about it and saying, you know what, I went through a personal hell and I came out on the other side, and this is, you know, this is how I feel about it. Like, I like I liked what he had to say about in shedding light on an issue that we don't really talk about, but we all sort of know exists with the pill stuff.
Yep.
When he kind of randomly whines about being underpaid or something, you're just kind of like, dude, shut up.
That's like, the one that it's like, we don't need this one. Don't need,
like,
this one, bud.
Like, bro, like, yeah, you signed it. Like, Jesus, dude, like, why are you whining about this when you were like, yep, that sounds fine.
Yeah.
So like, that's, I don't know. It just seems like we've kind of lost a lot of NHL stories in the last week, with us being hyper focused on roster battles and preseason and
for sure
everything else.
A chat mentioning Carey Price and him
going into the player assistance program.
They listed it as an illness, so it's not exactly clear what that is. But
yeah, and I mean, like, that program. I'm not even going to say this. I will just stop.
That's fine. Yeah.
And I like that he's reaching out and saying, I need
help with whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I need help. Robin Leonard is a surefire starter in the NHL. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
That dude's he's a player. I don't think he's underpaid either. But I can definitely understand where he's a little annoyed that he signs that contract and then watches as the market passes
him
up. Every
goalie under the sun gets $6 million. Yeah.
16 seconds after he signs that contract, everybody else is signing it. I imagine he feels kind of like Cale Makar feels.
Yeah, him and Cale Makar are like, I feel you, bro.
Yeah, where it was like, that contract got signed and then all of a sudden it was like, this one. And you're like, what the hell happened here? So... no, I'm just, a lot of stuff feels like it's been going on in the league, man. We just haven't gotten a chance to like talk about the sport at all.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Since we're not talking about the sport, chat, what is the opposite of a plumber?
Yeah, we were trying to figure this out earlier.
I like, it's not like I feel close to the answer to this question. I ask myself, what is the opposite of a plumber? And just not, my brain just turns off. Like,
yeah,
there is nothing there.
You know, normally we save this shit for Fridays, but we're doing this now because we're already in this room. But first thing, what is the opposite of a plumber? Second thing, Rudo, I will tell you, we had this conversation at the bar yesterday. I asked Z, she agreed with you. We are getting to Mars first.
Let's go. Team Mars before Team Moonbase.
Yeah. So Rudo and I were in the bar yesterday having a deep conversation about what happens first. We send a successful manned mission to Mars and somebody actually sets foot on Mars, or we build a permanent like station or base on the moon. I went with Team Moonbase. He went with Team Mars. I asked a couple of other people. They all said Team Mars. Apparently I'm a moron.
All right. A plugger is a good answer. That's the best opposite of a plumber I've seen so far.
What's a plugger?
Or a clogger. I'll accept the clogger as well. Like, because what do you hire a plumber to unclog your pipes, right?
Okay, but clogger isn't a job. it's just Taco Bell's side effect.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a job to be the opposite of a plumber.
No. It needs to be a job. The opposite of a plumber has to be a job.
I don't think it does.
All right. If Kevin agrees with me, I'm definitely wrong. I'm definitely wrong.
You're just dunking on Kevin today, man.
I woke up and chose violence against Kevin only. We were posing this question earlier, and I just don't know. I feel like I haven't even come close to an answer on what is the opposite of a plumber. Because we were talking about a theoretical third Super Mario brother named Sirigio.
Sirigio.
People are going to think we have the most whacked out conversations between these two that have taken place a day apart.
Koga, that's my favorite meme of all time. The astronaut that comes back and grabs the gun. Moon's haunted.
Moon's haunted. Yep, that's also. Yep, love that one.
The theory of relativity, all right?
Well, because we were talking about the Mario Brothers as established.
Yeah. And Sirigia would be like the evil.
Yeah.
Not even evil, because they have Wario and Waluigi, but yeah, like the long-lost brother.
30 years of Mario Bros. History has taken place, and they haven't wanted to talk about Sirigia, because he's the shame of the family.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I guess he's a politician then, because no families want to own their politicians. Their politician relatives. Yeah, who releases the water from a dam? Like the guy that, like, what is that job called?
All right. Did not think I would be Googling damologists today.
Damologists. Nice. A damologist. This is, yep, jobless. He's just a dude that walks by every once in a while and just like turns the wheel or releases the valve or pushes the button or whatever they do.
This is real disappointing. It came back with the name of that job is a dam operator. I was hoping for something better than that.
All right, Google, it's going to be like that, huh?
All right. Anyway, I don't feel like we're really that much closer to figuring out what the opposite of the plumber is.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel like we have. I like damologist. We're calling it a damologist. That we need to find whoever like the people who work at Hoover Dam, like we need to be like, look, we've upgraded your title.
You're damologists now.
You are damologists.
By the way, here's your new boss, Sirigio.
your overlord is Sirigio. Yeah. If he sounds a lot like a Mario brother, he is.
Okay. Final thoughts on anything hockey related, AJ, as we get out of here?
I don't know. We'll keep watching our previews.
Yeah.
I felt bad. Our previews have been cursed so far.
Right.
We released the goalie one.
Francois
gets hurt. And then I was watching the one that we released today about the third line where we're like, oh yeah, these two guys are inseparable in Jost and Nichushkin.
Yeah. I put the record scratch in there to go, so
yeah.
Nukes get his dart on the second line, but it's fine. And anyway,
Sirigio, it's S-E-R, but yes, otherwise that is correct. Sirigio.
Imagine if you were trying to spell Sergio but had a stroke.
A stroke. Nope, can't do it.
You're having one right now.
Yep, it's happening. This is what's happening.
I don't even know what that question means.
Yeah. What do you mean? What's Mario's last game?
Like
Mario Golf. It just came out. Yeah, it's not any good.
But is that what? Or do you mean like?
Oh Mario no, the new Mew? No new part. New Mario Party just came out.
Did it drop? Is it out?
Or it's coming out this month?
Mario doesn't have a last name. He's just Mario.
Yeah, the new Mario Party. Oh no, it comes out this month. So it would be Mario Golf.
There you go.
That's a bummer because that game was bad.
It's Mario Mario.
I guess that is why they're the Mario Brothers. We don't, you and your brother are not the Nathan brothers. You would be the Rudolph brothers.
Yeah.
So I guess it would be Mario Mario, wouldn't it?
I guess. I mean, if you didn't know my actual name, you'd call me Rudo Rudolph, right? So.
Like your email?
Yeah. Nathan Rudo. Anyway.
Oh, good.
We're going to get out of here for the day. As AJ mentioned, check out our season preview series. We already have goalies and the bottom six of the Avs forward core on there. Go watch those. Go get hyped, especially because, you know, Val Nichushkin's on there. Mario, Mario. So his full name really is Mario Mario.
Yep.
Okay, great. That means Luigi is Luigi Mario. And Wario is Wario Mario. Sirigio Mario. Yep, confirmed.
And we thought this segment wasn't going to be worth anything.
Yeah,
mad and we all walked out of it. Damologist.
Man
and
on
Mario
Mars.
Mario.
We're gonna send Mario Mario to Mars. All right, and then we'll call it Mario's.
Sirigio Floorball. Oh Lord.
Okay. All right.
That's so good. I'm God, I love this show.
Yeah. In any case, check out our season previews. Be sure to tune in to tomorrow's episode of the season previews, 130 Mountain. We're talking about the second line.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a fun one.
We will not be talking about the game tonight because it is, as far as I know, not televised or broadcast via radio.
Correct. I don't, unless Dallas does some last minute thing,
yep.
This one is not going to exist.
Yep.
So
it will be the game, somehow a game in the NHL in 2021, not on television nor radio. So,
and you wonder why the NHL is the smallest of the big four.
Yep.
Anyway, not going there. Thank you, everyone.
Are they doing altitude radio? So Connor's there?
Something.
Great. So at least one of the finally, the Avs got to actually look like the organization that takes something seriously for once.
Wild.
Yeah, they made them. They made the Avs look bad, too. So I guess it'll be on the radio. So we still won't have that. Doesn't do anything. We won't be able to really do
a post game about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least you'll be able to listen to it.
Yep.
So
and then
that.
I have no idea what tomorrow's show will be about, but it will probably be more on the rails than this nonsense.
Hey, we spent a good 50 minutes on the rails. These last 15 gone crazy, but
it's true.
You know what? Sometimes you need to know.
Also, somebody in chat asked earlier if we ever go to the office. We were in studio
2 days
yesterday.
In a row.
Yeah. So.
Not having
girl,
that
girl,
nonsense.
Girl, please. Girl, please.
Also, we told y'all to come down on last Saturday, too.
Yeah. And guess what happened? What happened?
Y'all, look, we told y'all to come down, all right? It's not my fault you didn't show up and Sam Girard did. All right.
Well, at least one of our listeners listens.
I'm saying. All right. For real, though, we're out of here. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, whatever you do to consume the podcast. If you're on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe to the video. That helps us out a bunch over here. And it will let you know every time we post any type of video. So do that. Support us. We love y'all. We will talk to you on the next one.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.